Now, what's a hot job right now? Are you in one? The picture certainly changes month to month across this vast land of ours. There are two front runners in job creation in Australia. The resources industry is one, and also what the Minister for Employment, Bill Shorten, calls the quiet achiever. The healthcare and social services sector, perhaps you're in that or in those. The unemployment rate is 5.2%, but the employment picture in Australia is interesting. It varies from state to state and region to region. Seek Employment tracks that national employment picture through job ads each month and also through employee sentiment, how we feel about the employment climate, the jobs climate. Joining us on Life Matters is Helen Souness. She's a spokesperson for the job website Seek. Welcome, Helen.
Thanks, Natasha.
Let's take a winter snapshot, if you like, of the employment picture in Australia overall. What jobs are you discovering are very much in demand?
Look, we can look at this on a month-by-month or a year-on-year basis. In July, we saw some huge increases month-on-month, especially actually in trades was really featuring. So carpenters, air conditioners, air conditioning mechanics. Carpenters and cabinet makers were up 54% month-on-month, so amazing growth.
I think anyone who's tried to book one knows this firsthand. But also chefs and hair and beauty specialists.
Absolutely, in the sort of national numbers, and kitchen and sandwich hands, which is good to see because we have seen a lot of obviously the skilled roles growing rapidly. But it's nice to see some of the ones that perhaps with less qualifications you could still do. Mm. That was up 35% month on month.
Demand for chefs was highest in Victoria, which sort of satisfies my soul, the great food culture of Victoria and Melbourne.
Exactly, I enjoy it too.
But there's also been a building boom. Construction seems to dominate still. What kinds of jobs in construction?
Look, plant and machinery operators in New South Wales, we saw that up almost 100% month on month. In some of the states, construction is also driven, of course, by some of the mining build, so in the trades area as well. So, yeah, really good mix.
I think construction was up 128% in WA, which you'd expect, I guess, because of the growth in the resources industry sector.
Especially as these projects are in the setup phase, it's all about construction in the early years of the mine, so yes.
We know that the resources industries are driving employment growth in WA and to an extent in Queensland and South Australia as well. Mm-hmm. How much variation, though, is there in the kinds of jobs available and the demands for jobs from state to state?
Look, it does vary enormously. There's some consistent themes, Natasha. Things like, as you said in your intro, the healthcare is in demand across all the states. We have an ageing population, and if I recommended any qualifications, probably health or financial qualifications across the states. But then, yes, variation between states. Although, interestingly, even in Victoria, when you look at it year on year, it was mining health and safety officers at the absolutely fastest growing job of 142% year on year. So the fly in, fly out element of mining means it is actually, it can go across states as well.
Yeah, there are some curious trends there. That the hospitality and tourism sector in Queensland saw airline personnel go up 80%. There are some anomalies here.
Amazing, isn't it? Because certainly talking to Queensland colleagues, the hospitality has suffered a little bit since the fire. So great to see, and they're also in the hospitality, kitchen and sandwich hands up 80% in Queensland. So not always following the headlines when you look at actually those growth numbers.
But you're measuring, this is a month-by-month measurement, isn't it? This is the last month, is that right? What about, are there particular trends that you are struck by over a longer time frame?
Yes, I would say some of the most consistent high-growth areas have been the healthcare we've mentioned. Accounting and lawyers, actually, are just constantly in. We also look at the jobs that have the least applicants for the role, so the most kind of biggest difference between supply and demand, and accountants and lawyers are just constantly in demand across all states. That's definitely been an ongoing trend for probably the last couple of years, actually.
The suggestion being that there aren't enough accountants or lawyers to go around.
Just always being advertised. So absolutely, that there are still some skills shortages continuing in those spaces.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? If you're looking to change jobs, is now a good time?
Look, we're still seeing enormous growth, over 100,000 roles on the site, and as we've talked about, a number of areas growing. So look, absolutely, some businesses are experiencing some uncertainty, and job seekers can be a little bit put off by that, but really there is a lot of opportunity out there.
Where is the uncertainty?
Look, I think we're seeing businesses and seeing it in the unemployment rate too, just going sideways rather than in growth mode. So I think that's where we see the uncertainty perhaps of Europe and the financial situation there played out in the jobs market, with perhaps not as bullish as it has been.
Helen Souness, thank you very much for joining us on Life Matters this morning to give that quick snapshot of job growth around Australia.
My pleasure.
Look, so obviously the resources sector is where a lot of job growth has been concentrated, but you might have a very particular impression of what sorts of jobs and who will fill them. Let's hear this.
Hi, I'm Danny Bancroft. I'm a fixed plant operator at the OPF for Fortescue Metals Group in Western Australia. Fixed plant operator, in layman's terms, big rocks into little rocks. First job I had in mining was at Marvel Lock. I was with a contractor and they wanted me to go out there and be a TA to start with. I was spotting fires on the pipeline, and then I was just working on the plant on the floor as cleanup crew. I wasn't inclined to sit in an office. It just wasn't going to happen. I like manual labour. It's a lifestyle. There's no way I could get into a set of high heels and come to work in Perth every day. It's not me. I've been an emergency response member at 3 of the 4 mine sites I've been at. You really have to be willing to help people, but you have to be able to get in and go. Like, if there's an emergency, you have to respond. Deal with fires, deal with rope rescue. I try to organise training rescues on shutdowns, because we've got a lot of confined spaces. Really hard to get to spots. Being a shift boss was quite a challenge at the start. A couple of blokes really objected. They'd been there longer, they were older, and obviously my mechanical competence is not going to be as great as a fitter or someone that's 50 years old and tinkered with cars their whole life. I wanted a challenge, so I moved to another plant. They got a shift boss after me that couldn't manage them, and it didn't go very well. Every single one of those blokes asked for me back. I do like working in a male industry. I understand how it works. I've been in shearing sheds, I've been on farms, I've been on pearl boats. That's predominantly males. Females definitely balance the mining lifestyle.
That's Danielle. She's employed as a process operator with Fortescue Metals Group. And when you think of jobs in mining and resources, I wonder what springs to mind. Are you thinking big trucks, heavy machinery on those mining sites? It's a stereotype that the sector, certainly part of the sector, but it's a stereotype that the sector wants to change. And the woman you just heard from features on a new website called People for the Future. It's a grand name. Joining me to speak about it is the director of the WA Chamber of Minerals and Energy, Nicole Roke. Nicole, welcome to Life Matters on RN.
Thanks for having me, Natasha.
Joining us there in Perth. Nicole, before we talk about kinds of jobs, remind us of the scale of the job growth in your industry.
There's certainly significant growth happening here in Western Australia. A piece of work that the Chamber did, the State Growth Outlook, the other year, looked at that we needed over 30,000 people here in Western Australia alone to work directly on construction and on mining operation projects. We're currently just redoing that piece of work.
Is that 30,000 new people?
That's 30,000 new people over and above the number of people that we had here in 2009. So if you look back then, I think we had about 85,000 people in our sector. We currently now have about 111,000 people working in the resources sector here in WA.
Mm. We've just been talking about hot jobs, and I'm curious about what the hot jobs in the resources sector are. Are there particular trends that you're observing there?
Look, there certainly are, and this morning before I came down, I had a quick look on SEEK, and if you look in Western Australia in the resources sector, there's around 4,600 jobs advertised in WA alone. significantly of that, about 1,000 of them are for mining engineers, which is in the more traditional areas what people expect to have occupations. There were around 600 geologists advertised as well. But when you look at our People for the Future website, what you'll see is that there's a vast array of potential jobs out there in the sector, whether it be that you have IT skills, have worked in the hospitality industry, in community development. So it's not just in all of the trades and engineering professions.
Yes, you're rather keen to broaden the understanding that people have of the sorts of jobs that the sector engages. And you have seen a fairly staggering job growth. And I'm wondering why the Chamber and other mining organisations have decided that a new approach is needed to recruit people into careers in resources, given the scale of the interest already.
What's really important is for people who are wanting to pursue a career in the resources sector is to actually understand what the needs are of the resources sector, to be able to understand what kind of qualifications, what kind of experience are needed in the sector. So by working with our counterparts in the Queensland Resources Council and the Minerals Council of Australia, what we're seeking to do with the People for the Future website is to provide people with information, whether they be at school wanting to decide on their career or people who are wanting to pursue a career change, that they can be informed as to what they need to do.
It's an interesting website. It's not your conventional mining employment website, I suspect, because it is called People for the Future, not Jobs in Resources. Are you actively downplaying the jobs in mining focus?
No, I think what it's important to acknowledge is just the breadth of what it takes to be able to have a resources sector. If you look at myself, for an example, I work in an advocacy kind of role, but I'm not technically counted as a resource sector employee. You know, you look at all of the people who work in the finance and admin teams, you know, the human resources. You know, half of our sector in terms of employees work for contracting companies, whether they be doing environmental scientists, whether they be doing heritage surveys, ranger programs. So it's actually amazing, the vast array of opportunities.
A big focus for you are careers for women. On the website, you've clearly tried to change that image of a male-dominated industry. And I've got to say, I've seen countless campaigns like this by all sorts of industries, especially technical industries, over many, many years. And isn't this a question of needing to change culture, not changing your marketing strategy?
It certainly is a need for us to look at how do we encourage more women to come into the sector. So we need to understand what is it that puts women off of joining the sector. And we also need to be able to promote positive role models. So people like Danielle is actually a recipient of our Women in Resources Awards, which we run on an annual basis to try and highlight that women are going into the non-traditional kind of roles, but also companies need to look at their recruitment practices. They need to look at their policies and procedures.
And their workplace culture.
And their workplace culture.
I mean, what do you think is turning women off the industry?
I think certainly the lack of understanding of the breadth of careers in the industry. It's not just all heavy trades is part of it. I think the fact that about 50% of our operations are fly-in, fly-out sites makes
which certainly isn't for everybody, is it? Does that affect the perception of the industry as a place to build a career for men and women?
It can do. Certainly fly-in, fly-out isn't for everyone. Mm. And people that choose to do fly-in, fly-out actually need to go into that fully informed. What it means for women with families is that it actually makes it harder for those women that have children to be able to work on a fly-in, fly-out site. But it doesn't make it impossible. It just means that they need to work through their family circumstances.
We've all heard about skills shortages and arguments, perhaps most famously by Gina Rinehart, for the need to recruit from outside Australia. And I guess the question is, why aren't there sufficient workers with sufficient skills in Australia to fill these vacancies? And I wonder whether this is not just about numbers of people available, but also the sorts of lifestyle choices people want to make.
Natasha, I think it's a there's no one silver bullet to solving the skill shortage issue that we have. Certainly, the company's priorities is first and foremost to recruit locally. It's certainly a recognition there's a need to invest in training and education of not only their current workforce but future workforces as well. When you look at where skilled migration is being used, it's actually in those areas where we can't recruit people in Australia. To recruit internationally is actually a very expensive option, and there are a lot more risks around recruiting people internationally. So the company's preference is to recruit within Australia, but if we don't have sufficient numbers of people available, then that causes us a challenge.
Thank you for joining us on Life Matters today to talk about, I guess, this sort of more varied view of the sector that you work in. Nicole Roke, thank you.
Thanks, Natasha.
Nicole Roke there, Director of the WA Chamber of Minerals and Energy. And of course, let's not forget, it's not just the resources industry that deserves focus here. The healthcare and social services sectors, which you may be part of, said to be going gangbusters as well. This is Radio National. Look, if you're transgender and you're considering transitioning from male to female, say, what sort of support do you need from your GPs? What sort of support are you getting? That's up next on RN.